again. I think of how, I think of you, and I wanna look you. She will always be my friend.
From Key Biscayne, Florida, this is Antisocial, the program that looks at issues on our social media feeds and once in a while tries to make some sense of them. I'm Tony Winton.
I'm Tom Mazloom. I don't know how you make any sense of my social media feed, Tony. It's sort of a raging mess of anger and mockery.
Would you say it's getting better or worse?
No, it's way worse.
Okay.
It's way worse. The closer we get to an election, the worse it gets.
This is season six, so you'd think maybe there was a trend line.
This is season six?
Yeah.
How on earth did that happen?
I don't know. We've been doing it for six seasons.
Wow.
And we've only been thrown off the air three times. I would have thought it would have been more.
Okay, well, maybe it's because of the trend line. We'll try to work today to improve our trend. How about that?
Yeah, we're going
to
be nice today. Is that the goal? We're going to be nice.
We always start that way.
And what do we think is going to happen on WhatsApp after this show?
You know, listen, you know, we have kind of a symbiotic relationship with the chats, as you know.
Yes.
Because if we didn't have the chats, we wouldn't have anything to be antisocial about.
That's correct. And it's important to understand that from a branding perspective, the important part about branding is emotion. We want people to feel something.
Right.
It's good if they think something, but we want them to feel something. So if people are feeling something, even if it's hatred and anger, that's actually a good thing if you're in my business.
Let's try to find the root of the anger, right?
Yeah,
and talk it out. That's the whole idea.
Well, I mean, you know the term, they're giving us flack. You know where that comes from, right? It's a World War II statement, right? So the bombers are flying over the target and, you know, the flak is like oil and nails and whatever they can find to shoot up at the planes to put a cloud over the target. So the bombers, when they lost sight of the target, would drop their bombs where the flak was thickest. So if they're giving you flak, you must be over the target.
There you go.
So we must be over the target a lot.
Well, we'll try to keep that in mind, though, as we talk about the bigger issues in our
We have a really big issue in the election season right now on Key Biscayne is a couple of council members have said no mas.
Right. And
that's going to remake the council. Like there's going to be five seats now open?
What? No, there are three seats open.
Yeah.
And so of the three seats that are up for re-election this year, because we have three council seats and a mayoral seat.
So four seats.
Right. So we'll have four new voting members of the council. And only one incumbent has decided to run for. So that means that by definition, we will have, you know, a lot of new people on the council.
And one of our lame duck council. I mean, one of our leaving council members.
I never even called it.
Did you say that you were going to be nice?
Yeah, and he starts.
That didn't last long.
Yeah,
I caught myself.
Starts the morning by calling me a duck. even if it's a live duck, but he calls me a lame duck.
Council member Luis Laredo has joined us in the studio. It's great to have you here.
And welcome, Council member.
You know, I'm just teasing.
Of course not.
I'm just teasing.
I don't have an ego problem, believe me. I got a lot of other problems, so that's not one of them.
So we have to ask, like, right off the bat, one term and you're out. Why? What brought this decision?
Everything that I've done is grounded, as I've mentioned to Tony before, on the fact that I was one of the founding members, chairman of Created the City 31 years ago. And so I'm very grounded on our original idea, which is, I don't want to spend too much time on, but it's about small, apolitical. I recall that we originally called it trustees. I avoided the Betty Sim was my vice chair and three other great people, different backgrounds. We were peacefully putting together a new city that never been done before. In Dade County, it precipitated a whole bunch of new ones. And so my frustrations is when I see that dream dissipate into bad things unnecessarily. One of the things I never dreamed of was, and now when I say I mean us, the five members of, and by the way, I've been fighting with some people here because I paid for the video, videoing of our hearings back 30 some years ago with a video. because it shows you intent. You know, in the U.S. Constitution, we fight about what were the founding fathers sitting around Philadelphia Hall talking about, and we have to construct. Here you can hear it because it's not just the letter of a law, it's the spirit of the law. So therefore, first of all, never expected to. This is a political career. This goes to explains why I said four years is enough for anybody to contribute. It also accentuates the fact that we are unique community, that we have a lot of talent here. If we don't have litmus tests or personality clashes, there we have people who know about architecture, people who know about finance, who would, if properly approached, would run as a community service. All of a sudden, it's become, you know, there are people.
Politics.
Well, there's people who have been serving for 14 years out of 30. There are people running, you know, it's like it doesn't click with me. We structured and struggled, and probably was a big mistake looking back, on somebody had to chair the meeting. And since we had the word trustees, because here where semantics comes in, you know, we can't, trustees doesn't lend itself. You have to be chairman of the board of trustees. And if you translate to Spanish, the only word would be president. So I don't know. So we came up with the word mayor, but mayor is nothing more. And if you go back to basics.
You guys should have gone with poobah.
Well, or poobah, you go, but look what we did. Look at the charter section 2.02. The mayor has absolutely no power. In fact, there are people who've called it a second. Let me tell you. Let me finish. Some people have actually called it a second class council. Member, because you have absolutely the same power, which is one vote, and you get 2 years where you counsel you for 4 years. So to chair the meetings, to nominate board members, boards of the commission, with the approval, in other words, with the vote of the council, and you are the head of the protocol, head of the city, for purposes of military and legal processes serving. Period. I'll leave it for you if you want.
But there's one big thing you're leaving out.
Yes.
Which is the bully pulpit. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it inside the charter.
Of course. Right. And I agree
and
with you.
That is a very, very powerful.
It is. Yeah. But the underlying philosophy was, in fact, I learned later, and other cities have done it, that which would have been smart if we had, that they elect seven council members, or five in this case, let's say Miami Shores. And in the first meeting, they elect for a year a chairman, which he calls mayor. And it's rotating like we did with the vice mayor. But we had so many pressure. But the point is, though, Tony and Tom, is it worth? Do you see this campaign? I mean, this is like worse than City of Miami, personal attacks.
Wait a second. That's a pretty high bar here, council member.
That's why.
Listen, pal, I live in the city of Miami. I can tell you.
Well, let me tell you something. I was chief of staff to the mayor of the city of Miami right out of school. And so believe me, I was there at creation and saw that whole thing. So that one of the reasons when I was chairman of the creation of this thing, what I brought was experience. And not any smarter than anybody, but I said, here's how not to do it.
Right.
Because here's how we all messed up the city of Miami.
Negative examples can be useful.
Yes. And, up heretofore, just for the purposes, I know you want to be anti-social, just take away the names, because then you get into all kinds of personality. Just candidate A and candidate B. Heretofore, I think the record for a council seat, by the way, in case people don't know, we don't get paid anything. It is a part-time job.
Wait, what about that cold pizza in the back?
That's
room?
True. That's true, and it is usually very cold. And the last election, I believe, I was kind of surprised. $17,000 was spent. So that you have an idea, I think I spend like $2,000. From what I hear and see, there's close to $100,000 of contributions in this race, mostly from out of the city. Out of the village. So you guys, I am such a great believer in the press, obnoxious as it may be and antisocial.
Hey.
Yeah, no, because you're the ones, okay. Because you're the ones who keep democracy honest.
Oh, if you can't, listen, I'm a believer when it comes, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
No, that's absolutely, but you have a responsibility to bring these things up. It shouldn't be my, excuse me, I don't understand this. Why would anybody want to spend $100,000 to be mayor of Key Biscayne with no power, whoever his name is, because we're lucky to have two, you know, they're decent people.
Yeah, that 100,000 is just what you know of. There's a whole bunch of money that hasn't been.
It provokes in you a common sense. You say, wait a minute, what, you know, by the way, this is a, I always tell people, not in the meaning way, this is a $33 million, $32 million company. You know, I've been most of my life in the private sector.
Right.
You know, City of Miami is almost $1 billion. It's 900 million, 32 million. So just to give you a scale also, even if you were a strong mayor of a little company of 30, so it distorts us. This truly is a historical election. And it is the duty, I think, or at least the attempt of people like you to question. Not prejudge. I'm not prejudging, but it doesn't, you know, two and two is four. I'm very simple, and it doesn't make sense.
No, well, if you look at the chats and you look at the temperature on
Thank God I don't look at the chats.
Like, just it's hyper for an apolitical election.
It's
hyper political. Like, people have divided on the island, one side versus the other side, in really hyperbolic ways.
It's shocking.
And for a guy like you who's like, you know, you set this up to be apolitical. How does that strike you?
Is
that
terrible? Terrible. And the other mistake we made around the mayor's office was one of the struggles was there was a movement and a reasonable one to have districts, and I was absolutely against districts, so that we would run like the council.
Everybody at large.
Yeah, and you don't have to attack Tony. You just have to say I'm the best of these seven. We missed it with the mayor, because of selecting it separately, now you have to run one person against the other. And that leads to this kind of stuff.
Isn't the flip side of that, though, and I don't mean to cut you off, but the flip side of that is accountability, right?
Yeah.
So the reason that you, and I know that the Charter Commission panel discussed it, they decided not to put it forward. But when you run everything at large, it's harder to hold a specific person accountable because they're not running against one person; they're running against the field.
They're not running against the field naively, perhaps, because what we wanted to do 30 years ago is to make this as apolitical as possible.
Right?
Is you run to project yourself, your qualifications, why you deserve their vote. I did not have to. You ran at the time that I ran, everybody, three of us made it, but I don't remember any attacks. I don't remember having the need to say, I disagree with Tony. Mm-hmm. I believe that the walls at City Hall, a village hall, should be red. And Tony says, well, I think it should be blue. I said, well, I didn't have to say, you don't have a taste, Tony. You're a radical.
You're a terrible person.
You're a blue person. You're a lefty, communist, tree hugger.
All of which is true, by the way.
All of which is true, but
we don't hold it against you.
I think structurally, and I had hoped that this review commission that would have changed it. There were honest mistakes, but the spirit was so embedded in us that we never assumed it would go this far off, which is what prompted me to run 4 years ago, because I saw administratively from my business background, things were, that's a subject for another meeting. I mean,
when you're free, you could come back on as a guest host.
No, you know me, I'm very free about talking. I'm like you. I say, I'm not here to win.
Right, but bring it back to the question. You decided.
So I decided, I think a lot of nice people on both sides, of whatever is divided out there, said that first of all, they wanted me to run for mayor, and I just tell you that I think and I wouldn't, never did the first time, ever got more mayor, I didn't the second time, that I really, really believe, and I'm telling you that one term is enough. Sometimes somebody wants to run a second term, but we have now a lot of people who've been around for a long time, and that's just not good, particularly because we do have a pool of talent here, and you don't have to agree. I mean, there's not that much. We're not fighting, by the way, the Ukraine war in Key Biscayne. We're not fighting for the freedom of the committee of January the 6th. We got about four or five basic things. We're like, you can walk this community. By the way, when I ran the first time, and most of the original council, I don't think we spent any money We just walked the streets and met everybody.
I think you
now
should
we have professional
all
consultants. We have PACs, Political Action Committee, which has destroyed the national system.
Yeah.
And I said, what is the fate? I want to give you one last interruption for you.
Because only one time.
Because
only
you're
one.
An intellectual. I notice that I refer to you as the intellectual of the group.
Thank you.
You'll know this English master by the name of Shakespeare.
Sure.
And one of his great phrases is, much do about nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, when you stop and you say, wait a minute, this is not
are you
President
me?
Of the United States or for the U.S. Senate. This is for, you know, God bless. This is a great community. So it gives me anxiety. But as to after your question, no, I really believe that I need to step out and let new blood come in, whatever their opinions are, because that refreshes us.
You've mentioned twice, though, there's plenty of talent on the Key.
Yes, sir.
You've mentioned two other times that we need new blood. How is Key Biscayne going to go get those people? Because who in their right mind would run for office if you're going to be told what a horrible person you are time and time again?
Like, and further,
How do you go out to the very talented people, incredibly intelligent, mostly successful human beings of Key Biscayne and say, listen, you really should think about being on the council?
That is that is exactly why I'm very worried about our future, because those kind of people, I have spoken to a lot of people on the whole spectrum of, by the way, very, not only qualified, but influential people. One of the reasons we were able to beat off Ultra and all of that is that people don't realize that in the mainland, if you want to call it that way, we have people there who are heavy hitters in terms of financial support of City of Miami Commissioner. So it's not us little arrogant Key Biscayne. The other side, the practical side to your question is they are either running a bank or a law firm or other kinds of professional, and they can barely get out of there once a month, which is usually in the charter. We only have once a month. We have meetings now going galore. Every other day we have a meeting and start a meeting at 6, 3 or 4 times, Tom, and Tony, I've tried to move the meeting to 7 and I can't even a second. So that person, he or she, does not have time to go to the house, kiss the kids and the wife or the spouse, and make it a 7 o'clock. And so also practically, it is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you tried early on to have actually in many municipalities do this. They have committee meetings.
You
don't have to have the entire council there for a discussion about one issue that maybe 3 council members really care or know about.
Yes.
We'll take the committee, examines it, ask the questions of whatever it is, and reports back. We think we should do this. Okay.
And
that never happened.
I've been on bank board for 30 years. I've been president, chairman of a multinational oil company. I've been on board of Baptist Health System, which is 12 hospitals. I mean, to me, it's so normal. Why should I even bring that up? It makes sense. If 2 of us are interested, it's sort of a delegation of not authority, but expertise. You know, Tony is
an expert. You were attacked for bringing that.
Yes, because they were supposed to be secret. Quite the kind of makes efficiency. It is not sustainable, to your question, to have this kind of quality of people. First of all, try to make him, you sound silly, 6 o'clock, but it's not. 7 o'clock makes a big difference, given now particularly traffic.
Agreed.
And some of them who are flipping channels, of course, who when I approach him the next day, I see him cough, he's like, God darn it, we need people like you to run. He said, Luis, I was flipping channel 11 o'clock, and you guys were still there.
Right.
We had in this multi-billion dollar company that I was involved in, literally in oil. Our board meetings were 2 hours. We had a $1 billion refinery project. This is a $32 billion company, for crying out loud. What are we doing at 11:30? It took us, Tony, you know, almost 2 hours.
Most of them, yes.
It took us 2 hours. Yeah, I see you, and I pity you because I have. It took.
But
us,
I can get up and leave.
I know.
So you're stuck there.
Remember the? I don't even know what we call that anymore. The park.
The park. Yeah.
It took an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I thought I just threw name it whatever you want. I said Sunrise because Sunrise Drive was there.
Right.
And so if you're running a big serious company, And you look at this and say, no, which they tell me, is that, Luis, you know what? We're so happy you're there. What do you need? I said, well, that's great for you to say, but I also have a life.
Right. The rest of us are looking on and going, I don't want any part of that.
Really is. And it shouldn't be. And it's not to blame anybody. Everybody's trying to do the best they can on the council. But you need to be grounded on some experience outside of here. It's not logical. Yeah.
It's not for lack of passion. The people who sit on the council are certainly passionate. They love the community.
Yes, I agree. And it's a thankless job, which is fine. Like you said, you go in, nobody ever, and there's an old phrase, in politics, there no good deed shall go unpunished. Nobody stops you for saying, thank you for this, or I disagree with you, but, you know, they just say, you know how it is, which is fine. That's your phrase, a very good American phrase. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. I can take the heat, but I really do believe philosophically that we're better. I'm not naive enough to say that we can go back to 100% 30 years ago because progress is progress, but certainly the spirit and the values should not compromise. We should be just a bunch of friends, community people, and you like the red door and I like the green door, and which, by the way,
Tony's still a communist.
Yeah, he is a communist. By the way, the five original members of the Charter Committee, we didn't know each other. We came from very different backgrounds, different opinions, under a lot of attack. We never had one bad incident or word among us. And damn it, we structure a hell of a village that everybody else was there. So we need to get back to that somehow. And this campaign is completely wacko.
Bonkers. It is bonkers.
Well, we have just a few minutes left. Let's do maybe some final pearls, right? Because this I told you this should be your exit interview.
Parting
right?
thoughts.
Parting thoughts. Maybe we should just run a couple of issues down and see.
Sure.
What would be your advice to whoever's going to the new council going forward? Okay. And let's say, and I know you interacted with the city. We talk about the city of Miami. Seems to be the arch. If there's an arch enemy, it would seem to be the city of Miami.
The evil empire.
What would be your pearl of wisdom? How should you posture yourself in dealing with the city of Miami?
Absolutely, that politics is the art of the possible, and so is business, and so is life. They have the power in Virginia Key. They own it. Same thing with the county. One of the things I hope that I contributed is I did, since I know a lot of the people on the council, the commission of both the city and the county, even when we were sort of in Remy right through Ultra, they have the checkbook. It is their home. So you can't just, we had a reputation in Key Biscayne. We are, we're above it all. No. Unfortunately, we want to do a bear cut this way. Yeah, well, then go pay for it. And so I think the smart thing to do, first of all, respect. That you may disagree agreeably, be grounded on reality that it is their Rickenbacker, it is their Crandon Boulevard, it is their Virginia Key, and we decided not to incorporate those things when we incorporated. So there comes maturity, people successful in the private sector who understand that you've lived to fight another day, and it's not necessarily fight. It is absurd to go on. We don't have. I used to joke with the mayor of Miami a lot during this crisis. Is that if you don't stop doing this, we're going to fund the Navy. I said, well, we've got a bigger Navy than you, and it's a funny way of saying, between you and I, they got the checkbook.
Yep,
and they got the property.
Your pearl of wisdom.
So respect.
Resilience is like an existential problem that the Key is going to face. And the Key is a wealthy community with the assets and the means, if it had the willpower, to prepare against it. But it seems to be a pocketbook issue that people are willing to die on the hill for. How can we get past our differences and fortify the Key so that it is here for a very, very long time and property values don't go down because they're underwater?
Yes. Well, you think that we're not united on that? I'd like to hear your opinion because we are. What happened is, semantics are so important in your business. Up to about 3 or 4 years ago, anything that had to do with, let's call it environmental, Remy used to call us tree huggers and hippies, and you're walking around with sandals. Well, all of a sudden, people all over the world said, you know, I don't know what you call it.
There's something to it.
Yeah, but gee, I couldn't get out of my house. So all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we still have to change the language. I'm a plain speaker. Resiliency is, you know, it's a kind of, you know, it's, hey, we got flooding, man.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think we have a great staff at the village manager, and the people of Key Biscayne overwhelmingly voted, because everybody who voted for or against the bond issue voted for the bond issue. Unfortunately, people who are used to dividing us made it seem that if you wanted to do it in trenches, you know, the pieces rather than the whole amount of 100 million, you were against it. That was a beginning of a bad trend, which still continues. People who want to control this island. So people put their money where their mouth is. So to your point, because it talks about the culture and the new people coming in. Now, for the first time, we have about $100 million in the bank, so to speak. I'm using...
Yeah, you got to borrow it.
You got to borrow it, but it's $100 billion to fix all these problems, which now gets you into, you know, we're going to be playing in the big leagues in terms of that. And therefore, that more responsibility. And by the way, a lot more scrutiny from people like you on those decisions. You know, who are the contractors? Who are the lawyers that are getting all these fees? Who are the consultants? You know how I feel about consultants.
And we haven't even gotten to the big checks yet.
Yeah, we're exactly.
Appetizer costs.
Right. But now my analogy of the little $30 million company who happens to have $100 million in cash, I'm using, to be spent, well...
Yeah, but that $100 million might not go very far.
It may not go very far.
Like, but I mean, you're looking at $250, $400 million worth to fortify it, and you guys are going to argue about the debt cap.
Yeah, well, I agree. But I think the only way we're going to solve this is if we get over... We got to put aside a group of people on both sides. I don't even know what a side is. That are constantly pounding divisiveness. And my friend Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing, it's a little more than nothing now because you have $100 million of serious stuff. I've been preaching as he goes to the meetings, Tony, that also one of the things that this council and the community has to understand is that this infrastructure stuff, it's going to require disruption of your life a lot. You can't just say, let's start putting underground and all of that on Friday, and by Monday, but by the time I get there, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 years of, you know, inconvenience. Streets paved up, and people are not ready. People are spoiled. They're complainers, and they think this happens overnight. Well, it doesn't. And you don't build a bridge overnight. So this, more than perhaps the founding 30 years ago, is the most important election, in my view, because we are at a transition moment when we need unity and common sense and experience more. And that's where I see the biggest thing. I see incredible hatred, incredible personal attacks, too much money.
Right, you guys live in paradise. The rest of us want to live here.
let me give you an exit question here, because I've covered this, and there clearly are factions in the island. There's no question about it.
Yes.
I'm not getting into the merits of who's right and who's wrong, because both sides believe that they're right.
Yeah.
Okay. And no one's, you know, so that is it. But there are factions. And I guess my question would be, you know, how do you move forward given that environment? And or what is the underlying thing? And one thing that seems to be keep coming up, and I it's gonna get a little wonky here for a second, so bear with me.
I'll bear with you.
Okay.
He's a Shakespeare.
It's a continuing debate between the east side and the west side of the island, the single family homes and the condominiums. So we've looked at the polling. The polling shows that on the issues, there's really no difference. The people who live in condos want the same things that the people in the single family homes do, by and large. They have similar opinions about government. They think government's doing a good job. There may be some slight differences on street lighting is a bigger deal in single-family homes than it is in the condos, but little things like that. But generally speaking, they have very similar views, yet this division persists. And so you've had this perspective looking back at the beginning and going forward. Is there a way out of this this tension between these two groups? That's my question.
Yes, and it's an extraordinary good question because that answers a question as to the founding. I fought tooth and nails. I started this program talking about it, that we would not have districts. You are in Key Biscayne, as small enough as it is. If I remember that I have had experience single member districts when it was pushed in for because there was discrimination and no Hispanics and blacks were getting it. Well, good unintentional negative is that we now have governments with single member districts that they don't give a damn what happens across the street. You know, as long as I got elected on District 6, so I was the leader with all five of us, no districts, and that is why includes, and no running one against each other, except the mistake we made with the mayor post, which we thought it was a minor post, and it became, so that was a big fight. And if you recall my first few months here, I had very strong, and I was the only one who was very, you know me, I'm a fighter, with an association from the condominiums on they were making on undergrounding, which happens to be an area I was on the Public Service Commission.
Right.
Okay. And they were trying to, you know, penny, well, I say, you know, as you recall, there was an individual and all of that. And I was like on their face on the issues. I cannot and we will not survive if we have this, you on the other side and this on the other side. It is so immature is the word. It is so, it is. I mean,
you're not wrong.
I mean, we have the privilege and people on the houses are probably subsidizing some of us who live on the beach. Yeah. That all I have to do is go down the elevator. They have to drive. So it is about sharing. It is about values. It's about being a community of one. So 30 years ago or today, or when I started, you saw me. And in fact, my wife thought that I had, because I was going to go in and say, I just want to be a low-key B107. It drove me nuts that they kept coming back about dividing it. So
you're
this
suggesting
people,
that this idea
they need
that,
to grow up.
That one side is subsidizing the other. That argument needs to be retired.
There's always going to be that problem. Or study American history, for crying out loud. You know, we've got too many people who don't know about American history. That was the fight founding this country. 235 years stability. You know, the states' rights versus the national government. That's how we had a Senate. That's why we have a House of Representatives. You give a little and I give a little. It's called compromise. It's called compromise. And it's called a commitment to values at the national level or this little tiny little town. Are we going to wear different T-shirts so when I go have coffee, if I wear green? You're from the condos, and so I don't want to talk to you because you have the blue shirt, so you must be a single. I mean, literally, at the end of the day, and this goes back to your question of people, serious people, mature people, successful people, say, this is a joke.
Yes.
It's very childish. Excuse me for being so blunt.
My whole shtick on this show is
so,
to point
I mean,
out the folly.
Let's disagree agreeably. Get off to your little ego trip. You know, not everybody's bad. Not all the opinions that you don't agree with. You know, what is the phrase, Tony? You can be my political opponent, but you don't need to be my, you're not my political enemy.
Right.
And here it's like personal attacks.
It's very personal.
And it's the thing is, we can't run away, man. This is why I tell people, if it were City of Miami, if you got all these fights, and then I go live, you know, Coconut Grove or something. Here, where can you hide? You just stay home, right,
there's
Tony?
As I tell people, there's only one Winn-Dixie.
Exactly. And two places to have coffee, and that's about it. And people, so look, I'm pessimistic, but at the same time, semantically contradicting myself, very optimistic that good common sense will prevail, that people will chill out, get their bearings, we have a good administration in place. I still got a lot of problems with them. And you know, I'm a fiscal ultra conservative. We keep growing and that's not acceptable to me. Just because, you know, you have X amount of income doesn't mean you have to spend it. And that's very government. You know, you just because you have a high income doesn't mean you have to go ahead and spend it. And we're losing that battle too. I'll share with you some of our budget and it keeps going up. So I am like to be able to contribute on from the outside. And a lot of people like me, a lot of good people are willing to do that who are not willing to to run for office for the reasons we talked about, but they're willing to specifically, rationally help. So
what about you? Well, will you run again?
No, I don't think so.
This is it.
I contributed enough. I mean, you never know. Yeah. No, I mean,
this is it.
But you have to understand that for me, I've been in the federal government. I've been in business. This is what's supposed to be community service. We actually thought if we could figure out a way to govern ourselves without election, you know that we actually thought that, but we couldn't legally. So can we just sort of have a...
Just nominate somebody. Okay, it's your turn to be on council. You know, yeah, I like that idea.
You could have had a New England style town meeting, but I'm not sure based on our current divide, that would have been very smart.
And I thought about the Swiss system of direct democracy, where you have they have the cantons when they get together, but it's now impossible. Right now, you would have to have more police there.
That's probably not a good idea. Councilmember Luis Laredo, I want to thank you for coming on our program.
For your service.
And your service.
Thank you for your service for the last 4 years. That's number one. And for being on this program.
Listen, if you keep thanking me, I can't handle it. I'm prepared for attacks, but this guy is thanking me. When are you going to get rid of Tom? I don't understand.
He's a can't.
You can't, huh?
No.
He's a fixture.
We'll be having an election next year to see who takes my place.
There we go. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. And we go down the trail to the north point of the Bear Cut Bridge. As the sun flies, itching your head as you return back home. And then the next day, you say you want to go for a ride.
And we are back. This is Antisocial. I'm Tom Mosloom.
I'm Tony Winton.
And loitering in the studio is the soon-to-be former council member.
Well, he's not. We didn't even get into this, Tom, but he's not done yet. There's still one very big vote that's going to be coming up.
Oh, I know.
On the budget.
Yes.
Yes. So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made about what stays in, what gets cut, what goes, what the priorities are. And it's we haven't even got to that fun aspect of fall politics.
Before we get there and just tying into the interview, can you talk a little bit about what's going on in the Independent? Matt Ramson wrote a fire and brimstone type.
Fire and brimstone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was a little pessimistic.
Right.
It was a little pessimistic. Op-ed piece about the Great Divide and...
I don't know. I don't know if I'd use brimstone. I don't remember anyone being castigated to the nether region.
But there was certainly that was certainly an opinion from one side of the aisle.
Right.
Well, that sort of blew up the other side of the aisle.
People have written to me, and we will publish contrasting views. If you have a contrasting view, you know, the format is 400, 700 words, write an article. You know, we edit them because, you know, we edit them for any factual claims. We make sure that they're correct. But argument and opinion, we encourage.
So I think you should do that. I think on KBI, you should put a call for opinions.
We did.
Outline what an opinion is versus, you know, what marketing and advertising is.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe throw it out on some of these chats that are.
Yeah,
I up mean, in arms it, about it, Matt's comment.
And we have had people in the past. So I would encourage folks who have a different perspective, and take it and say, you know, that opinion. There's a lot of opinions in there. I disagree. Here's why.
Yeah, it otherwise the Independent is not going to seem so independent.
Yeah. Well, the aspect of that is if you have an opinion column, you should have multiple opinions, and that's always been our belief.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I want to see the other side. I want to see other folks, other opinions. I mean, you know me. I'm a more opinions is better guy, even if I don't agree with them.
I think that's a good
and that sort
practice.
Of brings us to.
Yes, it brings us to the our discussion item for today. Let's see if I can find it. I'll get it ready. But the president of the United States had, I think, an extraordinary address to the nation last night. He held it from, he went to Independence Hall, where you were just there.
I was just there.
Were you running away from Philadelphia? No, I don't have an idea.
Exactly. Exactly. Couldn't get far enough away from that mess.
Yes. So the president had a national address, and it was taking on these themes of what's happening to our democracy. And I think the easiest way to discuss it is to start with the president's comments. Here is what the president said.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans, are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country.
President of the United States speaking last night in Philadelphia, very strong words.
And so he chose Founders Hall in Philadelphia as his backdrop, and he chose his political opponent to castigate, and he used it as a point about national security. This reminds me a lot of what Hitler did. And listen, I can't stand Donald Trump, but this type of rhetoric is dangerous from him. And from the president of the United States there in that backdrop, what is he, Vladimir Putin? Is he going to throw Trump in jail and call anybody who is a Trump follower or voted for Trump a dangerous human being, dangerous to democracy? Where does this slippery slope lead? Yeah. And again, I can't stand Donald Trump. I think the man, as a human being, I wouldn't let him watch my kids, let alone watch my country. But, you know.
Yeah, but you have Georgia.
Yes. I wouldn't let him watch Georgia, the dog. Okay. My dog. No. There's no possibility. But this is dangerous rhetoric. This is what's wrong in the country. This isn't how to write the country. This isn't the voice of sanity that Democrats and others voted for him to sit in that seat. This is the opposite of that.
Right. So you put little stock then in the distinction or definition that he made. We didn't play the whole speech, obviously, where he was referencing the January 6th assault on the Capitol, people who are supporting that. And I have to say that this speech and these words are coming just within a day or two of the former president saying he would pardon all of the participants in January 6th.
It doesn't matter what I think. I'm not the target audience. So as a marketing guy, as a branding guy, you look at your target audience. Who is he speaking to? Who are we talking to? That's very nuanced. I don't think the general public is going to make a differentiation between people who are MAGA Republicans and the general person who just voted for Donald Trump. Anybody who voted for Donald Trump is a MAGA Republican. Anybody who says, you know, right up until the point that they breached the Capitol, that's a protest that is perfectly legal. And anybody who says, hey, you know, they breached the Capitol, and that sucked, and there should be punishment. But cities burned that entire summer for the other political party, and those were mostly peaceful protests. Anybody who held those positions is now a MAGA Republican, and anybody who expresses these beliefs is now in danger of being a danger to the very fabric of our democracy. That is dangerous.
So I'm trying to understand what you're saying, because clearly you said you don't care for President Trump, former President Trump.
Right.
And you think that January 6th was
awful.
Okay. All right. So these are kind of the two pole stars there. The messaging then is using the word, is tying it to a specific party, instead of people who have those beliefs and supported those
actions. That's correct. It's the same thing Hitler did with the Jews. And I hate to say that because I know I'm going to get – I know what's going to happen to my feeds. I know what's going to happen to my
– If we were live, my phone would already be blowing up.
I get it. I know what's going to happen. I totally get it.
Right.
But that's how when you demonize a large swath of the population, call them a danger to democracy, what do you think happens next? People who aren't as intelligent and aren't as nuanced say they're a danger to democracy. We must protect democracy. Therefore, we must act against those people. This is exactly the thinking that led idiots through the doors of the Capitol on January 6th. Those people thought they were protecting democracy, too. They thought what was going on was a danger to democracy, and they were defending this country. They were wrong. But this is the rhetoric that leads to that, and we haven't chilled the rhetoric. We've escalated the rhetoric. It's dangerous. It's stupid. Both parties need to stop, and both parties need to recognize that the polls, the extremes of both parties, are dangerous. They need to rein them in, and the vast 80% in the middle, the center rights and the center lefts, need to be the voice of sanity in this country.
All right, let me ask another question, and I'm just going to play.
Wow, I feel like I got on a soapbox there. Well, I'm sorry, Tony. I apologize. Yeah. Maybe I'll write an op-ed.
Yeah, I you know, we had a sitting United States Senator, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, suggest or directly say that if the president is criminally charged, which appears to be what is likely now based on the public filings in court, just a few miles north of here in Palm Beach County, that it would lead to riots in the streets.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. This is the kind of politics that goes on in countries like Moldova and Lithuania and former Soviet countries, where the out of power president is jailed for crimes against the nation.
But isn't there an equal risk that not doing that means a president's above the law?
I think there's a middle ground on this.
A middle ground between not breaking the law and I think I'm not understanding that.
So I think what's going on is politics. If the president is indicted on the Espionage Act, of all things, there is a legal philosophy that suggests he can't run for president.
It's in the statute.
That's what they're going for. They didn't charge him on petty theft. They're going to charge him on the Espionage Act. The whole thing is designed to ensure that Donald Trump does not run for president again. Listen, I pray with everybody else that is on this side of the aisle that Donald Trump doesn't run again. I think he is a horrible human being, as I said before. But then let's put a candidate out that's going to beat him. And if you're a Republican, he has to go through the primaries. And if you're a Republican who hates Donald Trump, let's get a candidate that's going to beat him. That's the way democracy works.
Hasn't he frozen the field already?
Yeah, but why? Why?
Why has he chosen to freeze the field?
Nikki Haley, any of them, DeSantis, any of them could run against him. Any of them can run against him. Any Republican that wants to run for president and can qualify could run for president. They don't need to leave it up to Donald Trump to decide who gets to run for president and who doesn't.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that if the president's indicted, this is kind of the thinking, right? It almost guarantees he's going to run for office, doesn't it?
Oh. Well, this is, again, the problem with the Democrats is that they overreach and they're shrill and they have no limiting principles. So they're going to get what they want no matter what. And it always blows back in their faces. It galvanizes the base, the MAGA base, the Trump support. Even people who voted for Donald Trump but hate him are going to look at the Democrats' actions and go, well, now we have no choice. Now we're going to dig in our heels and it's us against you. This is a bad strategy. This is bad all the way around. It's been bad for years. And the media, God love the media. I love you guys. Really, I do. And you know I'm loyal to you. But I've never seen a politician whose headline news every single day for the last 6 years. Do you understand the value of that kind of marketing?
Let me lay it out for you. There are strategists who believe that running against Trump again is the Democrats' best option because that's how they win again.
How'd that work last time?
Well, the president, Donald Trump lost and Joe Biden won.
How'd that work with Hillary?
I'm not talking about Hillary. I'm talking about Donald Trump and
so
this president.
So it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
It's a coin flip. It's a 50-50. How about you put your best candidate forward, the Republicans put their best candidate forward, and we have a real choice.
So you think these strategists are crazy.
Yeah, I think if Donald Trump,
they look at the same polls you do. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at the polls, and I'm looking at the polls that the Democrats are looking at.
Right.
If Donald Trump runs again, he wins.
You think so?
I'm calling it right now. I will call the election.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first.
Make sure you mark this. Make sure you mark this tape.
Okay.
And you say, this is the day Mazlum said that.
It's September 2nd.
And then come inauguration day. I don't want to hear crap. I am giving you warning.
Okay. All right. We have it here. I don't like to make predictions because, you know, I was a weatherman. That was before I went into journalism. Most people don't know this. I was a meteorologist. And how did that work out?
All right.
I studied that at Columbia.
All right. You by the way, you've ruined this show for me because yes, you have moved.
We're having
it
fun. Come on.
It's Friday morning. It's not Friday afternoon. It means there's no happy hour. I don't get to pour myself a drink. And after this conversation, I need one.
Okay. Listen, you know, you used to work at NBC. That's what Hurley's was for.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's what Bloody Mary's at Hurley's was for.
Yeah, the guys from the AP evening shift would come off, and they would be having their beers, and they'd be watching the NBC executives having their Bloody Marys going in.
That's exactly, that was the deal. Good morning. All right, brother. Get us out of this mess.
Yes, I will get you out of that. Thank you very much. And again, our thanks to Council Member Luis Laredo for his exit interview. Or how should I say? Is that the right word? Exit interview?
Well, Swan song seems so awful. I think Council Member Laredo is going to be around for a while. And I expect to see him at the DS making public
comments.
And I
hope he comes back to our show.
I hope he co-hosts. Forward
because he has a perspective, I think.
He's going to be the co-host who replaces me.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Be safe, everyone. I think of you.
The Bearcut Bridge. As a